a tie.
All right. Let's talk about something that we see every day. And let's face it, we probably don't think about too much until they annoy us. We're going to be talking about road cones. Now you're interested. Got a couple of facts for you here. Did you know that road cones were introduced into Britain in the early 1960s? Did you know there are hundreds of different types for different uses? And over the years, their design has changed depending on what they're needed for. And did you know there are even people who collect them? And David Morgan joins me on the phone tonight. He has a collection of around 500 different cones. But the reason he collects them, because they are his life. They have been. Road cones have been his life. David, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you very much. I just spotted on our system that you're in Witney in Oxfordshire.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. Well, look, let's go right back to the start then, David. Road cones, when did they first become part of your life?
Well, 1960, I would have thought. I got a job at ICI, the chemical people, and in Welwyn Garden City. And part of my job was to operate machinery which used plastic. Because obviously once they've invented polythene, they've got to find some use for it. So we were in the research department trying different, using polythene for making things. And I was one day in charge of a machine called a rotational moulding machine, which will make hollow mouldings. And we were making toy elephants at the time, or wow, trying to, but they're rather tricky to make because the trunks get stuck in the mould. And then, luckily, a chap walked in from the Met Police with a sort of a conical-shaped piece of wood, which he'd been using to stop people parking on footpaths and things.
Yeah.
And wondered whether we could make a plastic version of it. And, of course, it was the ideal shape because it's tapered in one direction. So we made a mould. Oh, I didn't, but the engineers did. And we bolted it on this machine and filled it with polythene powder, rotated it in two different directions at the same time and heated it, and then we got a conical cone. So I was quite intrigued by that, and I think I was 17. And I've maybe been making cones ever since, and I'm 78 now. They've affected my life rather.
Do you ever have memories of making those elephant trunks, or were you just relieved that traffic cones were now your life?
No, I have still got one of those elephants.
Have you?
Yes, in the garage, but just to remind me how important cones are. I've only got one, but I've got a lot of cones.
So what do you think it is? Do you think it's because you were part of the birth of the traffic cone that you've got this obsession?
Well,
is that the right word to use?
Also, I think they're sort of little heroes, really, because, you know, they're sort of not selfish at all. They're just there to help people. And usually, you know, you really can't call your country an advanced civilization without cones.
Very true.
You know, that's how you would gauge a country, really. Because obviously they stand there trying to guide you past a hole in the road or a danger, a drop or something like that. And they do that all the time.
David, how much, I want to know, how much does a road cone cost?
Well, there's different sizes. An 18-inch cone, we've gone back to inches now, we're out of Brexit.
Yeah.
And an 18-inch cone is probably about £1, and a 1 metre, which is the largest one that's allowed, is about £7 or £8.
What's your favourite? What's your favourite out of all the cones, then, David?
Well, I think I have got an adapter form cone, which was made in Barwell in Leicestershire. It was very advanced. It was made of EVA, it was ethyl vinyl acetate, which is the same sort of plastic as is used to make ice cubes. It's very flexible even at low temperatures, so that when it was run over, if it ever happened to it, poor thing, then it wouldn't break and it would spring back up. And it also had a spirally wound retroreflective sleeve, which was really advanced. And it had a sealed base with sand inside. So it was rather splendid product. And you still, and I still see them sometimes. You know, because obviously I do keep a lookout for cones.
I bet you do.
Yeah, and I've got my sat-nav set so that it takes me through roadworks. And so, it's, which is quite annoying for my wife sometimes when we're on holiday.
I'm going to ask, are British cones any different to those that you see overseas?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, they're most cones are made in Britain. We tend to be the leaders because we use so many ourselves. We've got, we set the scale that we can probably do them more cheaply than most of the rest of the world. So we do export them to Hong Kong and Singapore and all over the place.
Blimey.
And they're slightly different. Some of them have different designs sleeve. The reflective sleeve, people have different ideas on that.
And obviously, you were in the Guinness Book of Records for the most amount of traffic cones. I mean,
yes.
What year was that then, David?
I think that was probably, 10, 12 years ago, something like that, yes.
And how many did you have?
I had 130.
Right.
They did. Ross McWhirter came down to count them and check them, and he didn't agree quite, because some of them he thought they were identical. Because I'd got some no-weighting cones and they just had different areas written on them. So I'd counted them as different cones, but he wouldn't accept that.
Well, he wouldn't have it.
No, it was very, very strict, really, yeah. but I've still kept them. I've got ones, you know, I've got them from Scotland and all. I've got them from all over the place, you know. I've even got a cone from Malaysia.
Wow.
Yeah, I found that on the Scilly Isles.
Where do you keep them, David?
In the garage and in the loft. But they do stack quite well. You know, as long as you get them in the right order, they don't take up too much room.
And I know, David, you're still involved in cones. What's your title?
I'm currently the chairman of the subcommittee for cones and cylinders for REMA, Reflective Equipment Manufacturers Association.
What does that involve then?
Well, it means that we advise the government on road safety. We're a trade association, so we've got different subcommittees, and some of them are doing reflective clothing, some are doing reflective vehicles. I'm doing cones and cylinders. There's another chap doing barriers, and then there's another chap doing sequential flashing lamps. So there's an awful lot of thought goes into all this sort of thing, which the motorist doesn't notice.
No, I bet.
You know, so we have meetings. Well, we have Zoom meetings now.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the situation it is, and we have one of those every sort of 3 months. And obviously, we tend to know more about these products than the government do.
Yeah.
Because we don't change, but the government does.
I'm just thinking, David, you must be the easiest man to buy for at Christmas.
Yes.
Although the gift would be blindingly obvious as to what it is, because it would be cone-shaped, obviously. But, I mean, do you ever get for your birthday or Christmas, do people buy you traffic cones?
Well, people send them to me when it isn't my birthday.
Oh, do they?
Because I've had cones sent. Well, I've had really rude letters from old ladies who've got a cone left in their garden by a contractor.
Right.
And then she's researched cones and found me and then written me a rude letter, a stiff letter, saying, don't you dare leave my cone. You know, she's amongst her forget-me-nots with a row of cones. And they get very cross. Obviously, I can't go around the whole country collecting them.
No, not at the moment, certainly. No. Well, look, David, thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Take care of yourself. Thank you very much. What a lovely man. David Morgan there. In the Guinness Book of Records for the most amount of traffic cones. I love him. Right, let's do the Isley Brothers. BBC Radio WA.